praise God we get to come together and worship Him one more time. I love your pastor and his dear wife, and I hate they're going through this. Me and my family's been through it, and God knows and God takes care and God ordained all of this. And I appreciate the spirit during the worship. I mean, it came about yesterday. Brother Lawless called me and asked me if I could speak. And I grabbed my Bible and I opened it. And there was verses right there. I looked at my wife. I said, this is it. Well, what you've talked about this morning, believe it or not, this is our God. It ties right into what the scripture is that I opened the Bible to. So we want to go to Psalms 139. God is never surprised. Have you ever thought about it? You don't surprise God with anything in your life. You're not going to surprise God with anything in your heart. You're not going to surprise God by not doing something for God. He already knows your heart. He knows who you are. He knows down to your core. If you look side to side to people you've known, how well do you know them? Most of you haven't met me personally, so you know what you see here. You'll know what I say today. The ones that know me, my family, believe they know me. But I got a confession. You don't know me. You don't know what's truly how dirty and rotten I am. You only know what I expose to you. But when we look in the Bible and we look to God and we look for guidance, I am going to run into that thing and have a black eye and go to work and tell people I went to church and they say, where'd you get a black eye? And then I can make up something. You only know what people expose to you. But let's look at a few verses. I would love to read the whole song, but for time's sake, we'll start and I'll read a few verses and we'll see where God takes us. Let us pray first. Lord God, thank you first of all. God, I thank you for your spirit. You've already showed up. God, you knew we would need you this morning. God, you know each hurt in this place. As I was sitting there and I was worshiping and just thinking of how good you are and thinking of the people that are hurting in here. But Lord, they're here because they know that you can help. And God, I just thank you for your word and the truths that are in it. And Lord, I pray you humble me, you remove me, don't let anybody remember me. Let them remember you. In Jesus' name. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Thank God, he's in front of me, behind me, on every side. God's omniscient. The quality of knowing all things, unbounded, infinite. I like to give definitions, and you say, well, we're smart enough to know the definition. Does anybody realize that the words change meanings? Have you ever thought about it? I've got an unabridged dictionary from 1908, and that's where I go get my meanings to my words, because words change meanings, so omniscience everybody knows, but it's unbounded and infinite. He knows it all. So we'll go to verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Searched literally means pierced through. He's pierced through my heart, all the way down to the core of who I am. Sometimes we speak of seeing right through somebody. I mean, that's a poetic saying. We can't really see through somebody, but God can. God can see your intent. When I got saved, he pierced my heart. He let me know I was a sinner. And he let me know he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords above all. And he loved me. Oh, the song was great. He loved me. In spite of what he saw in my heart, in spite of who I am, he loved me. And the psalm will go on later on and talk about how he knew me in the womb. He knew me before I was ever in the womb. He knew me. And he cares. He's going to search you out. He knows you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your struggles. One thing I always tell people, don't let a struggle get you sit in a room by yourself saying, oh, woe is me. You know who's going to get you sitting in a room by yourself? Satan don't want you around us. Satan don't want Christians fellowshipping. If I can get you to get by yourself, you'll think everybody in the world's against you. There's people that want to love you. It's what community is. That's what Preacher Jake talks about all the time, is community and commission and communion. Probably I gave him in the wrong order, but that's what he talks about. At least I heard something. It's about community. It's about living life together. It's about doing things for each other. It's about not being alone when you're hurting. I know Preacher Jake had many people checking on him because we love him. So remember, God knows you. He knows your hurts, but he also sent people around you. He sent people to you. Now that means we should be doing what? Going to people. So verse 1, he searched us. Not only does it literally mean he pierced through, or he saw to the innermost parts of us, but it means search carries the idea here of searching for treasure. Searching for treasure. Why would you search for treasure? I would like to find a treasure. And everybody would say, yeah, I could be wealthy. I could quit work. God is searching for a treasure he can invest in. He's giving. He's searching. God was looking for what he could claim as his treasure. He cared enough to acknowledge you, accept you, and adopt you. He didn't just care for you. When you place Christ in your life, he puts you at the table with the family. You're his son now, so to speak. You're part of the family. God loves us. He's searching us out in spite of us. He loves us. He acknowledges us when we acknowledge him. He accepted me as I was. You know, when I got saved, I was building race cars and drag racing a lot. I was playing music in bars. I was doing all sorts of things. I was raised in church, but I wasn't saved. I sit in a lot of pews and played music in a lot of churches unsaved. Not proud of it, but it's where I was at. But you know what? God saved me where I was at. He didn't tell me to quit everything and he would save me. He saved me and I quit everything. He started cleaning me up. He started helping me. He started moving me in the right path. If you'd asked me if I would ever stand up and talk in front of somebody, I would have told you no. And young lady, you did a great job. I appreciate it. I would have said no. And especially if you'd asked me if I'd have stood up and talked in front of anybody about God and about the Bible, I'd have really said no. But you know, when I was sitting in that pew in that little church, he knew. He already seen me standing here. I just had to love him and depend on him and turn my life and say, God, I don't know what to do. And that's what I did. I said, God, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? And then he'd tell you to do something. You say, I ain't going to do that. Wait a minute now. It takes overcoming fear. You know what fear? One thing I know about this young lady that got up here and spoke, I'm going to embarrass her before she leaves probably. She was nervous and she was fearful. But you know what that told me about her? She was standing up here in God's power. She didn't come up here of her own accord and said, I got this. She come up here and said, God, you've got to handle this because I'm scared. I don't know what to do. That's faith. I asked her, I said, do you have faith in God? Yeah. I knew she did because she got up here. That's faith. We have to step out of our comfort zone and trust. He's already searched your heart. He knows you. Don't worry about the things you don't have right. He searched for your treasure. And he knows you are a treasure. We'll go to verse 3. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Compass. Compass means to stretch around, encircle, grasp, embrace, to enclose on all sides. God has you. God's got your situation. He took you and embraced you like this. And he's holding you tightly, saying, I know what you're going through. Oh, but I'm here. Just lean on me. Just trust me. But not only did he encircle us and hold on to us and encompass us in his love, you say, well, that's kind of a crazy word there with an EST on the end. Anybody know what EST means? It makes compass a superlative. It makes compass of the highest kind, quality, or order, surpassing all else or others, supreme, extreme. He didn't encircle us just a little bit or just kind of hold on to our shirt or hold on to our finger as my boys used to do. He grabbed us, the best. Nobody else can hold us like that. He loves us that much. So he searched us out, knew what we were made of, and he still searched out the treasure within us. I don't know if you know it, but you have a treasure living in your heart that somebody else needs to know about. When we get saved, when we know God as our Savior, and we're out in the community, and we're standing there pumping gas, and somebody next to us, and God says, won't you say something to them? You're like, that's not me. Who's your faith in right then when you say, no, that ain't me? You're putting your faith in what you can do. You're putting your faith in yourself. How about saying, God, that ain't me, but if that's what you really want me to do, I'm going to trust you. I got a brother that's a pastor. He was he's told it so much I remember. I don't remember what day I was saved. He remembers what day he was saved. I guess he's better. But he was saved in an 87 Dodge pickup truck riding down the road going to work. And me and him was talking the other day. And he was just telling me, he said, you know, I've led more people to Christ in Walmart, at the park, sitting on a picnic table, in kitchens. And he's given them what God's gave him, because I can tell you where he came from. I was bad off. He was worse off. He sold drugs. He was doing drugs. I mean, he was an alcoholic. He was everything you can think of, and God just snatched him and said, I can use you. He's dyslexic, so he don't read well. I mean, he's got every reason in the world not to do anything for God. And now he's a preacher and he runs an outreach ministry. So don't ever doubt what God can do with you if you put your faith in him. Young people, especially you. Young people, it's you're walking down the hall with your Bible and people's like pointing at you. Jade, you're laughing because you know it's true, don't you? And they're saying, oh, you a fanatic, aren't you? Yep. Glad to be a fanatic. I know who helps me. It's difficult. It don't change when you become an adult. I went Burger King this morning and I took my Bible. I left before my family so I could have some time alone. And I took my Bible and I was sitting in Burger King and I was reading over these passages and praying some, and I was thinking, this is strange, ain't it? It's not for me. But isn't it strange if you walk in somewhere and somebody's actually reading the Bible in public? Why is that strange? Is it because we've let it become strange as Christians? Is it because we're too busy saying what the world does? What are we doing as Christians? What are we doing to help the world? How much of God has the world seen in you this week? It's got to be a self-reflection of us on others. What are we doing to spread the gospel? How are we going through our trials in the face of all we're going through? How are we getting through them? Are we glorifying God? And saying, oh man, this is awful, but God, I glorify you. I know I love you. And when somebody asks you, say, oh, this is awful, but you know, God's got it. I went down that path the last 10 or 12 years. My daddy, which is my hero, got Alzheimer's. And I had to figure out, how do I glorify God in this? And as I've grown and this thing's expanded and I realized I knew where it was going. But as I get further down the road and I read more of my Bible and I search God more, and I realize I may have had Daddy here and God here. I may have been making decisions. It's so hard to make a decision. Anybody that don't have their daddy to ask a question now knows what I'm talking about. And when daddy's gone and you have to say, what do I do now? And you have to go, God, what do I do now? Now I've got God in the right relationship. Now God's leading my life. Daddy always gave me great advice and great wisdom, but nothing like God. So he searches us, he compasses us, he embraces us to the superlative. And in verse 2, thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Go back this morning before you got to church. Think of a thought you shouldn't have thought of. Maybe somebody's driving too slow. You can't call them a Sunday driver because it's Sunday. But maybe they're driving too slow. Maybe they cut you off. What run through your head? What about a person that was really rude and cut in front of you in line? Or what about, just pick something. Go back this week. Think of a situation that was awful and you're like, you know. And you're like, you come in here this morning, it's gone. And you're like, nobody knows. God knows. And we're all human. We all fail in some way every day. Whether it's a thought, whether it's an action. But what we have to do is take those, and every time it happens, you say, oh God, forgive me. Help me do better. And start letting Him work on us. Get this relationship right so we can have this right with people. That's difficult because you know what happens? You have to quit putting yourself at the front of the line. You have to quit making, well, I'm a checkout today at Walmart and somebody cuts in front of me and you want to tell them off. You say, I was here first. How about saying, God bless you, if you're in such a hurry, you know, how about putting them first for God's sake? What did God always do? He always loved people. He always cared about people. You know who he cared? Where did he always kept getting caught at by the people in power? With the sinners. He was having dinner with the tax collector that was stealing money from people. That's where he always was. He was always getting caught. Do you think these people were nice? He was loving them in spite of themselves, just like he does us. Nothing's changed. He has not changed. So when we go out and we want to help people and they don't smell too good, that's tough. They don't look like us, that's tough. They don't dress or act like us, that's tough. Jesus did it. So when we think that we're better than Jesus, we got a real problem. So anytime you think you're too good to spread the gospel for Jesus, you're saying, well, Jesus, you come do it because, I mean, I ain't going to touch that. These little videos, they're not sad videos. It's not like a UNICEF commercial. They're putting pictures of kids that are just, you know, down and out on the screen. And every time y'all play them, I cry. I don't even know why. I don't know what God's telling me, but I tear up. Every time I think about these kids, I wasn't like that 10 years ago. I didn't love people like that 10 years ago. Do you know love is not an innate ability within yourself? Did you know that? I loved my wife when I seen her. It was love at first sight. I drove off, spoke to her two words, told the boy, that's the girl I'm going to marry. He said, you crazy. We met next week uptown somehow, and we've been together now. We've been married 28 years. But I didn't know really what love was. I love her better and more completely now than I did when I started, because I've learned how to love her. Since my salvation, Christ has taught me how to love people that I don't like. If you say you like everybody, you're lying. And remember, the first point was God searches your heart, so be careful. But you got to love them. I don't care if you like them. You got to love them in Christ's name, and you'll learn to like them. There's good in all people. They just don't know it. But the biggest thing is they don't know Christ. So keep your thoughts under control. The next one was tongue. I'm not even going to touch that. Y'all just, the Bible speaks quite a bit about the tongue and how dangerous it is. I will make one point about this. Be careful when you're... I always use teenage girls when I talk about this point, because teenage girls are very susceptible to this. If you walk into a room and there's three or four girls over there talking and they look at you and they look back and start laughing, you're like, what's wrong with me? Girls, I'll tell you a secret, boys are just as bad, so. You think they're talking about you. They may not be. Most of the time, I know they're not talking about me. I'm not interested enough to hold a conversation about, so I don't worry about it. Don't let that bother you, but don't be one of the ones in the group when somebody strange walks in and you stay in this little group. And remember how you would feel if you were on the opposite end. You know that's learning to love people. You know it's opening up your group and saying, hey, I see, come on over. You may not be saying nothing about it. Just be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful. God's desire is not to be put on a shelf like an inanimate object of worship. I'm sorry, my points aren't up there. It's so confusing on my paper, I couldn't give them to them. God's desire for everybody is a living, loving relationship with each of us. A personal relationship. He's not a God set on a throne that he don't want you near him. He is a God set on a throne that wants to have a personal, living, loving relationship with you. He wants to be part of your life. He don't want to be second thought to your life. He don't want to become a thought on Sunday morning. He wants to become a thought every morning. He don't want to become a thought when your kid's having seizures or you've been diagnosed with something. He wants to become a thought every time you wake up or every decision you have to make. I told this guy one time, I said, I'm praying about a car I'm going to buy. He said, what? You think God's got time to worry about the car purchase you're making? Well, I sure hope so. Yes, he does. He's got time for everything in your life. That's why he searched you out for treasure. Have you searched for someone lately to show God's love to? Or are we just saying, God, you got it? If he loves us, what's he expect us to do? Love others. If he searched for us, what's he expect us to do? Search for others. God's omnipresent. He's present in every place, unbounded. He's everywhere all the time. He's the only one that can do that, by the way. You do know Satan can't do that. He's not everywhere. That's why he has little demons or whatever and he sends out in spirit. God is. He's with you all the time. So I'm going to look at verses 7 through 10. Some of my favorite verses in the Bible. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Or in other words, how can I run away from you? How can I get away from God? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning or in the east and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. The uttermost parts of the sea is the Mediterranean. It's the west. So he's saying, if I take the wings and fly from the east to the west, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Praise God, He's wherever I am and He's holding me. He's leading. He's guiding your life. And then He's holding you. Or He's got a grasp on you. He rides with us everywhere we go. I've needed Him riding with me quite a few times. Or I wouldn't be here. Thank goodness He's always with me. And He not only leads us, but He holds us. He knows me as I am and still loves me. He adopts me. And He's called me to love others. God's omnipotence, His unbounding power. Look at verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. And if you continue on, the Bible says that darkness is light to Him. So if we go back to the beginning and we say, you remember I said something about being alone, something about getting some bad news or just getting depressed and wanting to get in a room by yourself. I grew up with my mother depressed clinically all my life. When I was 16, my daddy worked all the time. I mean, this man was amazing. I was taking my mother to have shock treatments when I was 16 and having to take her and I don't know, I don't think they do that a lot anymore, but it's pretty traumatic. So she's been in darkness a lot all her life, wanted to be alone. She could go sleep all day long, all night, and just because she just couldn't handle being around things. And I counsel her all the time. Mama, you can't get alone. You can't get alone and think that that's okay. It's not. But let me tell you something. When you can't get around people and you are alone, that darkness you feel, God's there. That darkness is light to Him. The Bible tells me in verse 11 that He's there. The darkness is going to cover each one of us at some point in time. Some point in time you're going to get down. God is there. It's light to Him. Lean on Him. He wants you to. So with all this said, I think there's two ways to interpret the whole message. One is God knows us. He knows what we are. He knows what we're made of. God is with us, and He wants to be. God helps us because He wants to. The flip side of that is if God knows me, is with me, and helps me, what is expected? He don't really expect anything but to love Him and try to be more like Him. Well, if I'm doing that, then God wants me to know others. God wants me to be with others. And God wants me to help others. That's what community is about. That's what your life group is about. That's what your job and your daily routine is about. Do you think it's a mistake or an accident that you got around somebody? I was in a meeting the other day and there's a guy on the other end that works 24/7, no joke. He's an intense guy. We're on a meeting at 7:30 at night and I hear his kids in the background, "Daddy, are you still on the phone?" And it broke my heart. I started praying within myself saying, "God, convict his heart." Now, I'm pretty open at work about my faith. I've talked to people all over the world about it. If I go to meetings overseas, I talk about it. I've actually given a Muslim woman a Bible and written the path to salvation in it at a meeting one time. God led me to do it. So I struck up a conversation, asked her about, "Man, what does Muslims believe? Why do you wear that? Can you?" And just talk to her. I said, "You know, that's interesting to me. That's just amazing." I said, "I don't believe like that, but I'm interested in what you believe." I said, "I tell you what, tomorrow I'll bring you something I believe in, just so you can compare it." See, I didn't go beat her up and say, "Well, why are you wearing that? Why do you believe like that? I bet you hate all Americans and Christians." No, I didn't say I agreed with her, but I loved her. And then I got her a Bible and wrote in the front of it all the verses for salvation and highlighted them and said, "I just wrote a few of our core beliefs in the front. Just look at them." You got to love people. So in closing, in knowing what God does for us and how He loves us, and knowing what He expects of us, God loves you. You're rebellious. You cheat. You commit immorality. You're selfish. You sin. But God loves you with an intensity beyond anything I could describe to you. He loves you, and He loves you so much that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross. And the thing that kept Christ on that cross was love, not the nail. Billy Graham wrote that, a great man of God. Now, that's talking about how much God loves you in spite of who we are. Loving God's will, the second point of it, we got to go out and love others. Our love of God must not be gauged by the passing feelings we experience that are not controlled by the will, but rather we must judge them by the enduring quality of the will itself. For loving God means that we join our will to God's will. It meant that our will consents to whatever the will of God commands. It means that we have only one reason for wishing anything, and the reason is that we know that God's will is it. That was written by unknown. I don't know who wrote it. So God loves you, and you need to join your will to His and love others. I encourage you right now to take a moment to reflect on your relationship, not only with God, but with others. Reflect on where you stand in life. And as always, these altars are always open. And I promise you, if you're a man and you come down here to pray, I'll go down there and pray with you. Because I believe on your knees is where these battles are won. If you're a lady, my wife will come down and pray with you because we want to be part of this battle with you. You don't have to face things alone. And don't let the devil tell you you do. This time's for you.